Welcome to Detox to Rehab's True Stories of Addiction podcast series. Today's guest is Allie, as she shares her story of recovery.
My name is Allie. I'm a recovering heroin addict. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I had a great family. I had two parents who loved me very much. You know, they would do anything in the world for me. And I grew up kind of feeling different from a lot of people. I always felt that I didn't fit in. I never really knew my place. I would try to kind of like camouflage my real self into being whoever I was around. I never really had a real role. I remember family members and friends telling me how independent I was, you know, how unique I was, and that they kind of, you know, they admired that about me, but in reality, there was like a lot of like dark thoughts and like heaviness to my life that they didn't see. You know, they just saw a cute little blonde girl growing up, but they couldn't see like the inner pain that I was feeling that, you know, I had no reason to really be feeling because, you know, I have loving parents, I have a nice household, you know, everything looks fine from the outside, but on the inside, I was really suffering. I always felt like I was sick, you know. I always thought, you know, maybe I have cancer or something. I kind of hoped I did because then, you know, I could just let go of life and I wouldn't have to live anymore. I would get, you know, the attention that I sought from people. You know, it would just be easier to have a purpose in life, you know, if your life is not great. Started using drugs and alcohol at 12 years old. I smoked pot for the first time and didn't do too much for me. And then I started drinking just with friends. That started off like kind of on the weekends. But like I said, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the drinking culture there is pretty heavy. It was normal for my parents to take me into a bar at 12 or 13 and order me drinks. There was nothing weird about that, and that kind of twisted my image of what it's like to be a normal human being. You know, it was normal to heavily drink any day of the week, and especially on the weekends. So that's kind of how it started off. Through high school, experimented with different drugs. After graduating high school and not really knowing which direction my life was going to go in, I started getting into heavier drugs, trying to fill that void that I had of not knowing who I am, not knowing why I feel miserable when I'm not high or when I'm not drunk. I struggled with keeping up with, you know, other classmates who I graduated with. They're going to college, they know what they want to do, doing these things, and I have no idea, and I'm kind of just out here in the world floating around trying to numb my emotions. So I started experimenting with harder drugs, a lot of cocaine, a lot of benzos and opiates, but I never considered myself an addict. I didn't think I had a problem, but that kind of snowballed into using on the weekdays, going to work, not being able to work unless I have, you know, a benzo that I was prescribed because I couldn't get through my days without the anxiety just like taking over me because I had been altering, you know, the chemicals in my brain so heavily that they couldn't normalize themselves and I needed something to stay functional. I maintained a job working in real estate. I was doing pretty well, making decent money, you know, popping pills pretty much daily. I'm doing fine. You know, I have money, I have a car, I have an apartment. You know, what's wrong with that? Until I started using heroin eventually. I met a guy who was a heroin addict, and most normal people would be really turned off by that, aspires to be a heroin addict. I was really attracted to that. You know, within the first couple of days of hanging out with him, I was doing heroin with him. That only progressed. It progressed really quickly. I got really sick. My family was really worried about me. They didn't know that I was doing heroin. I wasn't able to go to work like I was before. I was calling in sick a lot more, not wanting to leave the house, kind of just staying in my own little world. Eventually that ended up me quitting my job, just pretty much so I could get high and not worry about responsibilities. So eventually my parents found out that I was using and extended family members. And they tried to drag me out of the situation. They sent me into a partial hospitalization program where I did a month of treatment. And within days of getting out, I was using heroin again, and I was using other drugs through the treatment because they were only testing me for opiates. Like, I wanted to stop using heroin, but I didn't really think I had a problem yet because I could still control it. Like, if I needed to go a day without it, I could substitute for benzos or Suboxone. You know, I didn't need to use every day, but I separated myself from my boyfriend that I was seeing. I did that because, you know, my family wanted me to. They wanted me to stay away, and I wanted to do it for them, you know. I don't, like, the worst thing is seeing your parents in pain, your dad crying, your mom asking you, like, why can't you stop using? Like, I just want you to stop, and will you please? And I say yes. Like, I had every intention on never picking up heroin again, but, you know, within a week, I'm putting a needle in my arm again. And I had no explanation for my parents or for anybody, you know. I couldn't tell them why. I thought that I needed to distance myself again from the situation with the boyfriend, from my home life. So I ended up moving down to Tennessee from Wisconsin, thinking that, you know, I can just start over fresh. You know, I don't know anybody there. You know, I can quick get a job, get an apartment, and start living and try to make something of myself. My boyfriend came down, and we were trying to get clean together, and then our neighbor ended up being, like, our dope dealer. The geographical change didn't work, no matter how far I tried to run from my problems. Like, they always came back to me. So I ended up going back home to Wisconsin and ended up staying at my parents' house for a few months, using heavily again, against their wishes, of course. And, you know, every day, my mom crying, getting in fights, cops would be called to our house, she would take my drugs, hide them from me, and I would put up a fit, and I made their lives a living hell, you know? Like, no love that I had, and I love my parents to death, like, that love could not keep me away from the drugs. I needed them, and there was nothing that I wouldn't do to get them. You know, they would put a GPS tracker on my car to see that, you know, I'm going into the hood, I'm picking up, I'm going over to the ex-boyfriend's house and using. And I knew that they knew, and I did not care. I was suicidal. I did not want to live anymore. I did not see any hope in the future. I was pretty content with just giving up. You know, there's nothing here for me. There never has been. I've felt like this all my life, and the only way that I can live contented in my own little world is to be high. You know, I cannot face myself. I can't face the world clean. It's just not going to happen for me. So after a few months of this attitude and the turmoil that I caused my family, I woke up one morning, and they told me that I'm being sent to Arizona. They're sending me to a rehab facility. I knew nothing about treatment. I didn't know that you could get clean from heroin and be, you know, sober for the rest of your life. I've had friends that back home that had gone to rehab. They would go, get clean, and then, you know, a few days later, they're using again. So I figured that, you know, like, you can get clean for a little bit, but then you're gonna use again, and you're just gonna start the cycle all over again. I had no idea that recovery was even possible. My parents boarded me on the plane to Arizona. They walked me all the way physically to the plane so I couldn't escape. I got to Arizona. I had no idea where I was. They drove me into the middle of nowhere to a treatment facility. I was pissed. I did not want to be there. I was feeling sick, and I did not know what was going to happen. Like, that fear of the unknown. I don't know where I am. I'm in a strange place. I don't have any drugs. I didn't get on the flight with any drugs. Like, they're probably not going to give me anything to withdraw. I was a wreck. But I stayed, and I did 30 days of treatment. And that was the hardest thing that I've ever done, but it was the most gratifying and most life-altering experience that I've ever had. I bonded with other women who were there. I never cared to know God. I never wanted to. Nobody in my family was religious, so it wasn't a thing. And they kind of taught me, like, their different versions of God. They taught me that, you know, no matter what I've done, I can be forgiven. They told me things that I didn't necessarily want to hear about myself. They were honest with me, and they told me that they loved me, and I could feel the love from them. I had friends back home, but they were kind of a superficial, you know, I was never like myself because I was always using. But now that I'm clean and I have these women reaching out to me and pointing out good things about me, telling me the bad things that I need to work on, it was really eye-opening, and it saved my life. After 30 days in rehab, I went into a sober living facility with several of the women who were in rehab with me, and I still live there. I have this amazing foundation that I built inside of treatment. Daily, I use that to the best of my abilities. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have the women that I have today in my life who really picked me up and guided me through this whole process. I just trusted these women. I trusted the fellowship. I trusted my higher power to guide me. Today I realize that I'm okay as long as I don't pick up a drug or a drink. Like, I'm going to be fine. Like, I have these tools and I have these like remedies for the spiritual malady that I have deep inside of me. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I can talk to people. I can be honest about how I am. And I have this support system that I never could have dreamed I would ever have. Like, people who really understand me. If I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't be sober. That's really guided me through this whole journey. You know, not a day goes where I don't have to pray. I don't have to meditate. I don't have to pick myself up out of bed when I don't feel like it. With my God behind me and with the fellowship, my new family that I've created, that brings me through. Until you are taking your dying breath, that there's hope for you. I've seen the worst of the worst come into the programs and get sober. I thought I was dying. I thought there is no hope for me. There's no way that I can live because I'm just too fucked up. But I'm living today and I'm happy and I feel free, and that's a miracle.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next week as we share more true stories of addiction.